Steelers Ravens, Sunday Night Football, AFC North Championship on the line. It'll be Aaron Rodgers and this Steelers offense taking on a middling, occasionally solid Ravens defense. And of course, it'll be Cam Hayward, Patrick Queen and company trying to slow down the freight train that is Derrick Henry. Lamar Jackson will play. And it's an old-fashioned AFC North Steelers-Ravens rivalry game that will determine the division champion and who gets to host a home playoff game in 2026. Steelers slight underdogs in this game on Sunday night. Not surprised by that. Obviously, the Steelers took care of business against the Ravens earlier this season. DK Metcalf went off in that game. He won't have the opportunity to go off in this game as he will serve the second of his two-game suspension for his interaction with a fan in Detroit a couple weeks back. So the Steelers will be down their top receiver, which has probably a little bit, if not a lot, to do with Baltimore being a 3.5-point favorite in this football game. Over and under 40.5 is that line in this ball game. Ravens 8-8, Steelers 9-7. Something's got to give, and the gentleman that'll have the most to do with it, without question, is the quarterback for your Steelers, Aaron Rodgers, who met with the media yesterday.
Business as usual for us. I mean, you would have told us at 6-6, we'd be sitting at 9-7 with a chance to play for the division, regardless of what happened those four games, we would have taken it for sure. We're favored in a couple, I think, and underdogs in a couple. You know, played three good games and didn't play very well last week, but guys are responding the right way like we always do.
Last time you guys played Baltimore, DK had a really big game for you guys. You guys attacked him downfield against their man coverage. What do you expect to see out of Baltimore this week? Do you expect them to kind of keep going with some stuff they've done recently, or do you expect them to kind of go man up like Cleveland did against you guys?
Yeah, we'll be ready for whatever they do.
Aaron, in that regard, what could Calvin's addition on Sunday mean for you guys?
Calvin's a fast guy. He's a good route runner. He's been consistent for us when he's been healthy, and it'd be good to have him back.
The things that you can take from the Browns game, that offensive plan that are better help adapt to another game?
Oh, we'll be fine. Yeah, I mean, we're always adapting. We had a lot of opportunities in the Cleveland game. Just didn't execute very well.
Aaron, that you had a passer rating under 70. You bounced back with a really strong game. I think it was three times the Seahawks, the Patriots game, the Chargers game, you bounced back against the Bengals. What is it about your game that helps you kind of bounce back and not string together two bad games?
See, my career, I don't have a lot of stinkers back-to-back over the years. So that's same mindset every week, same approach, just expect greatness. And when it doesn't happen, you don't shift up the plan. You just keep on going and trust the process.
After last time you guys played Baltimore, Coach Tomlin said he felt like you really relished those moments, those big games. What do you think it is about you that you're wired that way, that you embrace the big moments?
I embrace all the moments. You know, I enjoy all of it. There's a lot of beauty in the mundane. The mundane is the Monday to Saturday where you can actually win games. And I embrace that part of the job. I've loved it. That's why I'm still here, still playing. Obviously, the icing on the cake is game day. But Monday to Saturday is where you win games.
Have you pushed that on these guys about the importance of the Monday? Have they appreciated
it? Yeah. I mean, you got to ask them. I hope so. That's what I've been about my entire career. You know, it's the beauty and the details and the small things that show up on game day and conversation that might happen on a Monday or a Tuesday at my house or Wednesday in this meeting here is going to show up on game day. So we got to be locked in. When you step in the building, there's a professionalism that doesn't turn off when you're doing any type of rep, when you're sitting in a classroom. Those are all important moments to get ready to play on Sunday, because like I said, you can win games Monday to Saturday if you have the details down the right way.
Do you find yourself relishing those mundane moments more this year, knowing you only signed a 1-year contract?
No, I mean, I've always relished those. You know, that's a teaching from Tom Clements going way back to my early years, and Mike McCarthy, you know, trying to find a little advantages Monday to Saturday. cues and patterns that you might recognize on game day. So training yourself to be able to look for those things Monday to Saturday. So Sunday, the game feels more like practice.
Aaron, how's the reality of being on this team sort of compared to maybe what you thought it was going to be like before you joined?
That's fantastic. I mean, everything about this experience has been great. It's been a special experience from the first conversations with Mike to the first day I got here in June to the, you know, some of the stuff I did when I first got in town, going over to Cam's house, doing Cam's golf tournament, being a part of the community and learning about the people of Pittsburgh and our fan base. And it's been a really special year, and we're playing meaningful football in December and January now, which is what I wanted after the last couple of years.
Have you ruled out coming back?
I haven't thought about it.
Aaron, how beneficial is it having a winner go home like this at home?
Yeah, it's beneficial for sure because, you know, we need our crowd to be as loud as possible on Sunday. It's a night game. It's the only game on TV. It's a special feeling to be able to play on that Sunday night slot for all or nothing, and a lot easier when you're playing at home.
Before you signed the deal here or came to an agreement that you'd come here, was this the type of game that you were like thinking back in like in February, March about like I can't wait to get this type of high stakes moment with this organization?
Yeah, I mean we've been in playoff type mindset since we were 6-6, and obviously we had an L last week, but these are meaningful games that you want to play in. You know, it's tough on the other side. You know, I've been a part of the locker room the last couple of years where, you know, get to December and you start talking about your off-season plans, where you're going to be, your travel plans. That's not a whole lot of fun. You want to be in here talking about the game, talking about meaningful snaps, talking about doing something special, and it starts with this week against Baltimore.
You haven't thought about whether this could be the last one for you?
No, I mean, my entire career, I've had the approach, really since 2011, we lost a dear friend and a teammate on the field, broke his neck. Now, he walked and is you know, ambulatory now and living a great life. And then I saw it in 2013 as well. So the mortality of those moments and the seriousness of seeing a teammate get carted off the field in a neck brace, I think makes you realize how special this opportunity is, but how fleeting it can be. And you just got to stay in the moment, and each one could be your last. That's kind of the mindset. Obviously, I've played a lot of football. I've been fortunate for the most part health-wise over the years. But I know how delicate this thing can be, and seeing guys like that get carted off and never play again. So I've had that approach my entire career, and no different this season.
Do you think it might hit you a little bit harder or at all when you step on the field Sunday?
No.
Aaron, you mentioned last week you sort of feel like Benjamin Button a little bit this time of year. I mean, the way your body has responded, does that give you confidence that whenever you get to whatever you get in the offseason, when it's time to make the decision, that physical ability won't be a factor in it, on whether you can play or not? It's just a matter of whether you want to.
I mean, I hope so, yeah. I mean, I hope I can get through this stretch and feel good physically, so that's not in the conversation.
Have you played the kind of ball you wanted to?
Hmm?
Have you played the kind of ball you wanted to this year?
I mean, at times, yeah, definitely. You know, anytime you're in a first-year offense, there's always some growing pains within the offense. It's always like you feel like if you had another year, you know, what you could do. And I look at 2019, the way I played in 2019, and then kind of the adjustments we made in the offseason, and then the way I played in 2020, which was just in a whole kind of different level. What I felt like, and I used to tease LaFleur about this all the time, I was a game manager in 2019 and a game impactor in 2020 and 2021. And I think a lot of this is familiarity with the offense and with the guys. And we've done the best we could with our conversations and our meeting time outside the facility and our meeting time in the facility. But obviously the more years you get in the system with the same guys, the more continuity you have, the better you feel like you can play.
Aaron, how have you seen
kind of have that drive right now, thinking about, you know, the what-ifs and how much better things
would be? Listen, I mean, I'm thinking about this week, but obviously I'm 42 years old and I'm on a one-year deal, so you know what the situation is. Whenever the season ends, I'll be a free agent. So that'll give me a lot of options. If I still want to play, I mean, a lot of options, but there'll be options, I would think, maybe one or two if I decide I still want to play. But I've enjoyed this experience, and everybody in Pittsburgh has been fantastic to me on and off the field, and it's really what I was hoping for this experience was it's been even better than I was hoping.
Aaron, along with that, how have you seen this team respond to you?
I mean, you know, I've tried to lead the best way I know how, and
tried to inspire guys. You know, motivation comes from within, but true inspiration can be given to your teammates through the way you practice, the way you lead, the way you prepare, the way you show up, your energy in the locker room, on the practice field, on game day. Hopefully the guys, you know, took some of that. I've made a point of really trying to help out Will because I love him. He's, you know, he's a great kid, and I think he's got a bright future. And, you know, that's one relationship I really wanted to pour into. And I've got a great quarterback room. It's one of the best I've ever been around. You know, just Mason and the way he is and his jokes every day kind of get us through the day. And Will, just so eager and hungry. And Sky, the silent guy in the corner. It's been a fun group with those guys, and I've appreciated every moment with them.
And what part exceeded expectation?
Well, I mean, you never know how it's going to be when you get in the locker room and how the guy's going to respond to you and how Mike T is going to be in a meeting. All those things have exceeded expectations. Mike's leadership, just the kind of people we have in the locker room. It's a credit to Mr. Rooney and Andy and Omar for the kind of high character guys they brought in the locker room. And I've enjoyed the relationships and friendships. There's a handful that'll stick with me, I feel like, into my next chapter of my life, which is pretty exciting because, you know, I've said it before, most if not all the great things in my life are due to this game and the amazing opportunities that it's given me. So thankful for that. You always think about the what if and the alternative, you know, timelines of your life. But if I, you know, hadn't taken this path, I never would have met so many guys in the locker room who I now call close friend, and wouldn't have had the experiences and the memories on the field, wouldn't have been able to be in the room with Tom Arthagan and Bake and be able to play for Arthur Smith and Mike Tomlin. And, you know, I feel like there would be a little hole in my life, missing without having this chapter. So I'm thankful for this time.
Aaron, when you think about making the decision whether to come back or not come back, what all goes into that for you, whether it's talks to your family, seeing how your body feels?
Yeah, you know, I understand the question. I don't really want to get too deep into it. You know, obviously I'll talk to my wife, and then, you know, hopefully that's a decision down the line, but I'm not really going to talk about it right now.
One more. Did you ever settle on a favorite bridge?
There's some great bridges in this city. Great ones to get stuck on at traffic time, too. But listen, I'm on the Hot Metal Street Bridge every single day, so that's always going to have a special place in my heart.
All right. Thank you.
That was Aaron Rodgers meeting with the media yesterday at Steelers headquarters. Jeff Hathorn will join us shortly. He was in that scrum with the Pittsburgh Steelers starting quarterback. And a lot of that conversation had less to do with Baltimore and playing the Ravens and more to do with Aaron Rodgers' future as a quarterback of the National Football League, playing in the National Football League, much less being the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2026. I've said on record I'd take him back in 26. You look at his splits over the year, he's thrown 23 touchdowns to only 7 interceptions. Hasn't thrown a pick since November 9th in a loss against the Chargers in L.A. 3 of his last 4 performances, he's thrown for over 200 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks in those 4 games. He was talking about his early time with Matt LaFleur in Green Bay, 2019 to 2020, and how he felt as if he was a game manager because it was so new to him, that system. Can't help but think that Aaron Rodgers would look different in year 2 in Arthur Smith's offense, albeit the 42-year-old would be 43 coming back next year. But that's a bridge that we will all cross, obviously, this offseason. The question is, can Aaron Rodgers throw this team to victory? Will this team to victory on Sunday night against the Baltimore Ravens? His last outing against the Ravens was his best outing since week 1 when he threw for 4 touchdowns against the Jets, 244 yards in that game, a win over the Jets 34-32. That was a revenge game for Rodgers, obviously. They had a bad falling out when he left the organization, came to Pittsburgh. Just so happened to be that the opener for the Steelers was at the Jets, and he played at an elite level. This game, He mentioned not having back-to-back stinkers or a lot of them in his career. This game, with all the negative energy around this football team following their loss to Cleveland, feels to me a lot like that Jets game. It feels a lot like a game that Aaron Rodgers is going to take personally. Now, the circumstances are certainly different. This is a game to continue your season. It's a game to win an AFC North championship, to finish the regular season at 10-7. And obviously you'll be playing this game without your best receiver in DK Metcalf. And the Steelers, well, they really counted on DK Metcalf to produce in their 27-22 win over Baltimore a few weeks back. In fact, Metcalf in that game led Pittsburgh with 7 catches for 148 yards along a 52 on 12 targets. He did not score a touchdown. But when you factor in that of Rodgers' 284 yards, Metcalf accounted for over half in that game against the Ravens. So from a Baltimore defensive perspective, to not have to worry about DK Metcalf is a big deal. It's one of the big reasons I would say that Baltimore's favorite in this game is because Pittsburgh is lacking its top receiver, and they're going to have to make up for it. Calvin Austin had 1 catch for 31 yards in that game. Gainwell, 6 catches, only 27 yards. You know, they're going to need Pat Freiermuth to step up in this game. You know, he had a big catch, obviously, late in the Cleveland game. No Darnell Washington, out for the remainder of the season with a broken arm. He had surgery. Jonnu Smith, no catches against Baltimore in their last meeting. So this is one of those games where the ball is going to have to get spread out because you're not going to have those deep one-on-one shots. They're not going to be as consistently available like they were against Baltimore. And you're not going to have the, you know, a specimen out there like Metcalf that can go up and get the ball. Tried to go deep to MVS. They've tried to go deep to Thielen and Scotty Miller. That's not the same as having Metcalf out there. So it'll be interesting to see how the Steelers engineer explosive plays. I think Gainwell is a big part of it. I think Freiermuth, a big part of it. Calvin Austin returning is a big deal. But to me, this game comes back to Aaron Rodgers, and they're going to put the ball in his hands. This is one of the lowest pressure rate defenses in football. You're coming off of a game against one of the preeminent pass rushers in the history of football in Myles Garrett. Now you're playing a Baltimore team that struggles to get to the quarterback, and you've got to go put points on the board because you know what's coming when the Ravens have the ball. They're going to run the football with big Derrick Henry. And I don't think the Steelers want to drag this game into the mud. I think they want this game to skew a little bit more, I wouldn't say high scoring, but a little bit more aerial. And I just get the sense, just listening to Rodgers talk, that this is, if this is his last game, both of these things are true. If this is his last game, I don't think he goes out not swinging, not throwing his best punch, not putting it all on the line. Last week did not look like that. Globally, for the Steelers, it looked like a team that thought they could go in there and leave with a win without playing, without doing too much. Didn't happen. I think the Steelers know, and they knew going into Baltimore for their matchup when they were sitting at 7-6 that they needed to be aggressive. I think Aaron Rodgers knows that he ain't going out sitting on his hands. And two, I think this football team knows they need Aaron Rodgers to win this game for him. And if that happens, I'll be curious to see the reaction and the continued conversation, the ultimate decision that's made about Aaron Rodgers, his future, but also the Steelers and whether or not they prioritize having Aaron Rodgers return next year. And a lot of that will have to do with how this season concludes and what follows. What's the fallout of the Steelers and their conclusion to 2025? But Sunday night is as big a game as the Steelers have had at home. It's as close to a playoff game as they've had at home in, since 2020. And a chance to beat your hated rival for an AFC North title. We'll talk to Jeff Hathorn about this football game and much more. Next, it's the Fan Morning Show. And we're back on the Fan Morning Show. New Year's Day edition. And we welcome the hardest working man in Pittsburgh sports on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That is Jeff Hathorn. And it's the Hawk Report. I can't do it as good as Callis. Jeff, good morning. Happy New Year.
Maybe the resolution should be we get rid of Country Roads from our playlist.
Well, I think as long as Crowley's sitting in this chair, that song will remain. But Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, probably.
I know you were working yesterday down at the South Side, and it's been a while since the Steelers have had a home game that is essentially a playoff game for a division title. Is the pressure palpable?
No, actually. When you're in the room, it seemed like not a normal week, but there was some intensity to it. There was some, like, hey, let's go get this. I think it helps that it's the Ravens in a weird way. You know, just grab everybody's attention. They know it's at stake. But it seems like they've been able to put Cleveland behind them. Now, ultimately, we'll find out. That doesn't mean they don't have flaws. It doesn't mean there still aren't concerns for the game. But it seems like whether Tomlin, leaders, just guys, you know, looking in themselves, that they've been able to put that Cleveland game behind them.
We just played the audio, the full audio from Aaron Rodgers meeting with the media. Heard the docile tones of Jeff Hathorn asking a couple questions. Seemed like he was waxing a little bit nostalgic about his time here, but then didn't want to answer questions about his future, which I found to be interesting. I just said prior to the end of the last segment that this strikes me as a game that if it's his last, he's not going to go out without being the swashbuckling gunslinger that he is. Do you get that same sense?
Yeah, and I really don't. I mean, he kind of went back and forth with what he was saying. You're right. There were times where he was kind of talking about his career and how important this chapter was, that he had this opportunity with the Steelers. Then he also threw out, you know, back in 19 when the floor took over, we kind of struggled. And then after that, in my second year with that offense, we really took off. So, I mean, he was making sure that he left a runway for a return. But, yeah, to your point, I do think that if he knows this is his last game, and they're struggling or there are issues on offense, I think there are some things he's going to take over and want to go out if he goes out his way.
Obviously, Rodgers will not have DK Metcalf on the perimeter in this ball game, but there seems to be optimism about Calvin Austin returning. He was limited in practice yesterday with that hamstring. What's the prognosis of Austin and his inclusion for Sunday night? And then, thus, what's the division of labor look like on the perimeter? Is the MVS experiment drawing to a close, or will he just be a supplemental piece in this one?
Yeah, I mean, there is optimism with Calvin. I mean, you never know with soft tissue, but he was able to go through a limited practice. He seems like, I think he used the phrase of my numbers called upon, which normally tells you like, hey, I'm not allowed to say that I'm ready to play, but I think I'm ready to play. So, I mean, Calvin brings you a deep threat, and I do think it makes MVS more of a supplemental piece. Not that he won't dress, not that he won't get targets, because there is a relationship there. And listen, you said it, Pat. I mean, if this is it for Aaron, he's going to look to a guy that he knows very well in MVS.
Yeah, talking to Jeff Hathorn, our Odyssey sports director here on the Fan Hotline. You can see us on the Fan video stream at 93.7thefan.com or on X. TJ Watt, obviously a interesting situation from soup to nuts, but what's the level of optimism that he's ready to go on Sunday night?
Hi. And I have, at this point, I feel really good about him playing. Now, he's got to get through a couple more days. The limited seemed a little bit more than what we saw last week. I think there is optimism that he's going to be able to go.
This Steelers run defense, Jeff, I don't think it'll be tested like it will be tested on Sunday night. For whatever reason, it seemed like Baltimore wanted to feature Lamar Jackson and throw the football more against Pittsburgh in the first matchup. But this would seem to indicate, based on their approach to the Green Bay game, even though Lamar Jackson is back and ready to go, that the Steelers should be prepared for a heavy dose of number 22.
Yeah, if not, then John Harbaugh should be fired, because that's how they win games. I mean, I don't know, that's the frustration with Ravens fans. Like, you've got this great piece, and it's sometimes with Lamar, it's like you try to get too cute. Or, hey, you know what? Lamar can do this. Why don't we try this? They proved in that playoff game they just need to be simple. Like, just hand the ball off over and over until the Steelers could stop them. Now, the Steelers believe they have some momentum on defense going their way, that they're communicating better, that they're staying in their gaps better. So, and they've got Derek Hart, been kind of a missing piece, someone that you didn't have last year and didn't have in the other Baltimore game. So he's kind of a new addition to this rivalry and to this run defense. I mean, what we see, their run defense has improved, but they haven't faced a team quite like this during that stretch. Let's see what Baltimore is going to call, and let's see if the Steelers can force the Ravens to beat them through the air. If they can, they can win this game.
I said it earlier, if I were the Steelers, I'd take the ball first, provided Cam Hayward remembers to take the ball when the coin toss happens, which didn't happen in Detroit, obviously. More globally, Jeff, you know, this is not new to Pittsburgh. It's not new to the national narrative about Mike Tomlin and his future in Pittsburgh. Adam Schefter weighing in this week about the possibility, and sources indicate, and all the things that Schefter tends to do. You're in the building. You're at practice. You said it felt like business as usual. Do you think there's any chance that there's a parting of ways, and does a loss in this game expedite that?
I think the only chance of a parting of ways is if Mike decides that it's time for him to have a new start somewhere, or that he thinks he wants to go somewhere else, or that he's not being appreciated, or whatever might be going on in his mind. I mean, barring some kind of crazy circumstance where the Steelers just get totally annihilated, and there's all kinds of wild stuff that happens on the sideline showing there's no control or any of that, things that I don't expect to happen, I think Mike Tomlin will be back again. I don't think at this point, if he were to leave now, I think that would be Mike saying, you know what, I think it's time for me for a fresh start. I don't think the Steelers are at that point. It's not that they've been happy with what's going on. I just don't think they believe that they don't have the right man. It's just things that have happened in games, yeah. Execution, play calling at times. I mean, combination of all of that as to why they, you know, haven't locked up the division at this point.
I want to go back to the Aaron Rodgers conversation again. I have been on the record saying I would not prioritize, but I would certainly pursue bringing him back in 2026. Do you feel like that's on the table?
Yes, I do, especially given how the quarterback class has played out. Listen, they know they need the next franchise quarterback, and obviously Aaron is not the next, you know, go forward for 10 years quarterback. But I don't know that you could look at the NFL draft right now for 2026 and say there's anyone in that draft short of Mendoza who's going to go one or two and say, I trust that guy to lead my franchise for a decade. So if you don't have that, then you could bring back Aaron Rodgers for a year and then look at the draft the following season. You could go look at, you know, the hot take of the of right now is that Malik Willis would be a really good option based on what he's done in Green Bay the last couple of games, that he'd be a free agent. But I mean, I just don't see other options other than those two right now, unless you want to turn it over to Will Howard and believe he can do it, even though he's never even played in a preseason game.
So fascinating. So many storylines. None more important, though, and we're with Jeff Hathorn, our Odyssey sports director, than the result of this game Sunday night, because obviously it extends the season. You're a division champion. You go to host a home playoff game. All the things that come with it. How do you see this game playing out, Jeff? What's your feel?
I mean, when you're around the team as they're preparing, like, you could feel their energy, and when it's positive, like, you get sucked in. Okay, if they can do this and that, I think Baltimore's still going to be able to run the football. I think that's going to be a problem for the Steelers. Not having DK and that threat downfield, I don't know that Calvin Austin becomes the next DK in a game. I just think – I thought at the beginning of the year, Baltimore was a better roster. And I think at the end of the year, they're still a better roster. And even guys that the Steelers have that could come back probably aren't going to be at 100%. And Baltimore's going to be able to control the ball on the ground. I think it'll be a close game, but I think Baltimore will end up winning the game. Until I see it, I don't see them being able to stop the Baltimore run game, and that's just going to be a problem, especially in a Sunday night where it's going to be cold at Acrisure.
It's going to be cold. It's going to be a run-heavy football game for Baltimore. We appreciate Jeff Hathorn. Jeff, making time for us on New Year's. Obviously, you hosted the Fan Morning Show yesterday, so this is a common time and place for you, but appreciate you, man, and best of luck with 2026 for you and your family.
Yeah, same to you. Best to you and your family and everybody for 2026.
There goes Jeff Hathorn, the best, the Hawk Report. And Jeff obviously does it all, covers everything for us here at The Fan and 93.7thefan.com. He's at Steelers headquarters literally every day. I'll probably be down there today to get a temperature check on where this football team is heading into a big game. Jeff likes the Ravens in this one, in a close one, low scoring, but seems to think that Baltimore will control the line of scrimmage on offense, which I see happening too. To me, the difference in what will put the Steelers over the top is the performance of Aaron Rodgers. We'll take your calls to 412-928-9370. Thoughts on this game Sunday night? What's your vibe? Coming off of the holidays, New Year's Eve is behind you. It's 2026, and the Steelers are playing the Ravens on Sunday night for the AFC North title and a home playoff game. Will they win this football game? 412-928-9370. More Steelers-Ravens talk after this on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. A New Year's Eve edition, New Year's Day edition, I should say, of The Fan Morning Show. Pat Bostic wrapping up Hour 3. Of our 4 hours of sports talk excellence, starting with Ty Polk on the early morning show. And we've covered it all. We've got New Year's resolutions. We've talked college football, college sports in general. Steelers Ravens, though, is the topic of the moment. It's the topic of the week. It's the biggest game, one of the biggest games of the weekend. Seattle, San Francisco, obviously also a huge match up with divisional implications, but Steelers Ravens Sunday night football, Acrisure Stadium, a chance to host a home playoff game and do so as the AFC North champion on the line, and two long tenured coaches that fan bases are divided on in terms of their future. This game will say a lot about which city's temperature rises in terms of frustration with the current regime. What's your confidence in the Steelers winning this football game? As you come out of New Year's Eve, the holidays are kind of all behind us. We flip the calendar to 26, and the Steelers are playing a play-in game. at home? What's your confidence level? We'll start with Dorian and McKees Rocks. Dorian, good morning. Happy New Year.
Mr. Voss, Happy New Year back at you, Mr. Voss. To me, I think the Steelers have more players are going to be more desperate to perform it beyond their capabilities. And I think the Steelers are going to win. And that's not on any of the numbers. I've been desperate a couple of times in my life, and it brings out, survival instinct. And I think the Steelers have more players that have to make a formidable statement. And I'm keen on Mr. Freiermuth.
I like it.
Enjoy the game.
Will do.
I'm a pit guy like yourself.
I appreciate you calling, as always, Dorian.
Hey.
Happy New Year to you and your family, my man. There he goes, Dorian and McKees Rocks. We'll hear from you, 412-928-9370. Chime in on this Steelers-Ravens matchup. Some of the key matchups in the game, obviously. And Dorian mentioned, the desperation. I think the Ravens are pretty darn desperate too, Ty. I mean, Lamar hasn't – you can't get to the Super Bowl unless you make the playoffs. And they're still waiting for Lamar to take them over the top there, and they've dumped a lot of resources around him. And this game will determine whether or not he has an opportunity to return that favor.
Yeah, there's a lot of legacies on the line, and I hate doing that because it's such an NBA-type argument. But no, with no Death Star named the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs this year, I mean, the field has never been this wide open. The chances are there for really everyone. In terms of the AFC, if you get in there, I think there's a legit chance for seven teams, all seven, to make a Super Bowl. You can make a case.
Yeah, and I think the Steelers can be dangerous. I think the Ravens can be dangerous if they get in. I tend to think, you favor the home team a little bit in a game like this. I think it'll be a raucous environment at Acrisure. It's going to be cold. We'll take a look at the game time temperature here shortly. And while we're at it, just knock this out of the way. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, mix of sun, clouds, and snow, high of 23. Tonight, cloudy with snow and a low of 19 degrees. Sunday night, Acrisure Stadium. The high is 30 degrees, the low is 22, partly cloudy with minimal wind. So, decent conditions for this football game. Aaron Rodgers-like conditions for this football game. And for me, two things need to happen in this game. The Steelers need to get their pass game going early and often, throw to set up the run. I think that's how they play their best football. It's what we saw against Detroit. It's what we saw against Baltimore. It's what we saw to some degree against Miami. You have the intermediate passing game, some shots down the field, movement passes to then set up the run to then close the game. The Steelers have to slow down Derrick Henry. They'll have certainly Derek Harmon to help them this week. Cam Hayward's played pretty under the radar at a high level this year. At one point, he played as many or more snaps than any other interior defensive lineman in the NFL at his age. I mean, this is a legacy game from that standpoint for T.J. Watt, for Cam Hayward. With every passing year, their window closes another inch. And it's almost fully closed when you think about where they're at in their careers, the injuries they've both had to deal with. I know they just were given contract extensions, new contracts. But you've got Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, and that's the other component of this is, what difference does he make? I heard Tony Romo say, this is why you brought in Aaron Rodgers last week for the last drive against Cleveland. I would say this, I agree, but this game Sunday night, this is why you brought Aaron Rodgers to Pittsburgh to be a Steeler, is to go put forth a winning performance with the ball in his hands, to trust in him to protect it, but also to make plays, and to lead his team to victory over the Ravens in a division title game. That's why you brought Aaron Rodgers here. And last week was, to use his words, a stinker. It was hard to watch. It was disappointing. It looked a lot like the offense we saw against Buffalo. Conservative, worried about Myles Garrett, wanting to kind of eke a win out. I don't expect to see that mindset on Sunday night. And you just watch Aaron Rodgers between plays and you watch him communicate with the staff. You can tell when he's frustrated. You can tell when he may have something else that he'd rather do. I don't see there being a whole lot of restraint on Sunday night with regard to how this game is played from an offensive perspective. We have the first Baltimore game to use as proof where Mike Tomlin himself cited a deliberate change in approach to be more aggressive to beat Baltimore, with whom they're very familiar. I don't see that changing with the game being at home and being at night. That doesn't change things for me. I wish they would have adopted that same mindset against Cleveland last week, knowing that Myles Garrett may break the sack record in so doing. But the more I watch that game, the more I see Kenneth Gainwell chipping and Pat Freiermuth chipping and not getting out in routes until late. So I know someone's got a chip, but every single play seems to be a little bit excessive. You don't have that same concern Sunday night. And I think it'll be two very contrasting approaches. The difference with Lamar playing for Baltimore versus Huntley, not that Huntley can't run. Huntley might be a better passer than Lamar, frankly. But it's the element of having to account for Lamar Jackson in the run game. And they're certainly not going to hold him back. Although, he's had lower body injuries and now a back injury. And, you know, how much does he want to get hit? How much do they want him to get hit? How much is this under center and just pound the ball with Henry and play action and boot off of it occasionally, but we get rid of some of the read option stuff, or we don't use it as exclusively because of Lamar's physical state? We don't know. We won't find out till Sunday. But to me, this game is more about Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers offense than it is about this defense. I think they're both obviously critical to winning the game. But I'll say this, if we see the Steeler offense from a couple weeks ago in that three-game aggregate, I have a high level of confidence they win this game. If we see anything other than that, I don't care how well the defense plays. I think Baltimore wins. This comes down to me at how Aaron Rodgers plays, how aggressive they are in getting open and making big plays down the field to set up their run game late in the ballgame. That's how this game needs to go for Pittsburgh to win. More of your calls at 412-928-9370. Next, we'll dive back into the college football playoff a little bit. I want to talk about today's games, get your thoughts on that. We'll talk anything. This last hour is a free-for-all. We got one more hour of the Fan Morning Show. Ty Polk behind the glass, 412-928-9370. Fan Hotline brought to you by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Last hour of the show's next. It's the Fan Morning Show. A New Year's Eve edition, New Year's Day edition, I should say, of the Fan Morning Show. Pat Bostic wrapping up hour three of our 4 hours of sports talk excellence, starting with Ty Polk on the early morning show. And we've covered it all. We've got New Year's resolutions. We've talked college football, college sports in general. Steelers-Ravens, though, is the topic of the moment. It's the topic of the week. It's the biggest game, one of the biggest games of the weekend. Seattle-San Francisco, obviously also a huge matchup with divisional implications. But Steelers-Ravens, Sunday Night Football, Acrisure Stadium, a chance to host a home playoff game and do so as the AFC North champion on the line. And two long-tenured coaches that fan bases are divided on in terms of their future. This game will say a lot about which city's temperature rises in terms of frustration with the current regime. What's your confidence in the Steelers winning this football game? As you come out of New Year's Eve, the holidays are kind of all behind us. We flip the calendar to 26, and the Steelers are playing a play-in game at home. What's your confidence level? We'll start with Dorian in McKees Rocks. Dorian, good morning. Happy New Year.
Mr. Voss, Happy New Year back at you, Mr. Voss. To me, I think the Steelers have more players and are going to be more desperate to perform it beyond their capabilities. And I think the Steelers are going to win. And that's not on any of the numbers. I've been desperate a couple of times in my life, and it brings out, survival instinct. And I think the Steelers have more players that have to make a formidable statement. And I'm keen on Mr. Freiermuth.
I like it.
Enjoy the game.
Will do.
I'm a pit guy like yourself.
I appreciate you calling, as always, Dorian.
Hey.
Happy New Year to you and your family, my man. There he goes, Dorian in McKees Rocks. We'll hear from you, 412-928-9370. Chime in on this Steelers-Ravens matchup. Some of the key matchups in the game, obviously. And Dorian mentioned, the desperation. I think the Ravens are pretty darn desperate, too, Ty. I mean, Lamar hasn't – you can't get to the Super Bowl unless you make the playoffs. And they're still waiting for Lamar to take them over the top there, and they've dumped a lot of resources around him. And this game will determine whether or not he has an opportunity to return that favor.
Yeah, there's a lot of legacies on the line, and I hate doing that because it's such an NBA-type argument. But no, with no – Death Star named the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs this year. I mean, the field has never been this wide open. The chances are there for really everyone. In terms of the AFC, if you get in there, I think there's a legit chance for seven teams, all seven, to make a Super Bowl. You can make a case.
Yeah, and I think the Steelers can be dangerous. I think the Ravens can be dangerous if they get in. I tend to think, you favor the home team a little bit in a game like this. I think it'll be a raucous environment at Acrisure. It's going to be cold. We'll take a look at the game time temperature here shortly. And while we're at it, just knock this out of the way. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, mix of sun, clouds, and snow, high of 23. Tonight, cloudy with snow and a low of 19 degrees. Sunday night, Acrisure Stadium. The high is 30 degrees, the low is 22, partly cloudy with minimal wind. So, decent conditions for this football game. Aaron Rodgers-like conditions for this football game. And for me, two things need to happen in this game. The Steelers need to get their pass game going early and often, throw to set up the run. I think that's how they play their best football. It's what we saw against Detroit. It's what we saw against Baltimore. It's what we saw to some degree against Miami. You have the intermediate passing game, some shots down the field, movement passes to then set up the run to then close the game. The Steelers have to slow down Derrick Henry. They'll have certainly Derek Harmon to help them this week. Cam Hayward's played pretty under the radar at a high level this year. At one point, he played as many or more snaps than any other interior defensive lineman in the NFL at his age. I mean, this is a legacy game from that standpoint for T.J. Watt, for Cam Hayward. You know, with every passing year, their window closes another inch. And it's almost fully closed when you think about where they're at in their careers, the injuries they've both had to deal with. I know they just were given contract extensions, new contracts. But you've got Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, and that's the other component of this is, what difference does he make? I heard Tony Romo say this is why you brought in Aaron Rodgers last week for the last drive against Cleveland. I would say this, I agree. But this game, Sunday night, this is why you brought Aaron Rodgers to Pittsburgh to be a Steeler, is to go put forth a winning performance with the ball in his hands, the trust in him to protect it, but also to make plays and to lead his team to victory over the Ravens in a division title game. That's why you brought Aaron Rodgers here. And last week was, to use his words, a stinker. It was hard to watch. It was disappointing. It looked a lot like the offense we saw against Buffalo. Conservative, worried about Myles Garrett, wanting to kind of eke a win out. I don't expect to see that mindset on Sunday night. And you just watch Aaron Rodgers between plays and you watch him communicate with the staff. You can tell when he's frustrated. You can tell when he may have something else that he'd rather do. I don't see there being a whole lot of restraint on Sunday night with regard to how this game is played from an offensive perspective. We have the first Baltimore game to use as proof where Mike Tomlin himself cited a deliberate change in approach to be more aggressive to beat Baltimore, with whom they're very familiar. I don't see that changing with the game being at home and being at night. That doesn't change things for me. I wish they would have adopted that same mindset against Cleveland last week, knowing that Myles Garrett may break the sack record in so doing. But the more I watch that game, the more I see Kenneth Gainwell chipping and Pat Freiermuth chipping and not getting out in routes until late. So I know someone's got a chip, but every single play seems to be a little bit excessive. You don't have that same concern Sunday night. And I think it'll be two very contrasting approaches. The difference with Lamar playing for Baltimore versus Huntley, not that Huntley can't run. Huntley might be a better passer than Lamar, frankly. But it's the element of having to account for Lamar Jackson in the run game. And they're certainly not going to hold him back. Although, he's had lower body injuries and now a back injury. And, you know, how much does he want to get hit? How much do they want him to get hit? How much is this under center and just pound the ball with Henry and play action and boot off of it occasionally, but we get rid of some of the read option stuff, or we don't use it as exclusively because of Lamar's physical state? We don't know. We won't find out till Sunday. But to me, this game is more about Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers offense than it is about this defense. I think they're both obviously critical to winning the game. But I'll say this, if we see the Steeler offense from a couple weeks ago in that three-game aggregate, I have a high level of confidence they win this game. If we see anything other than that, I don't care how well the defense plays. I think Baltimore wins. This comes down to me at how Aaron Rodgers plays, how aggressive they are in getting open and making big plays down the field to set up their run game late in the ballgame. That's how this game needs to go for Pittsburgh to win. More of your calls at 412-928-9370. 7-0. Next, we'll dive back into the college football playoff a little bit. I want to talk about today's games, get your thoughts on that. We'll talk anything. This last hour is a free-for-all. We got one more hour of the Fan Morning Show. Ty Polk behind the glass, 412-928-9370. Fan Hotline brought to you by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Last hour of the show's next. It's the Fan Morning Show.